Hawker Beechcraft files for bankruptcy. Americans unions won't give up. They want a merger. Sharing the skies with unmanned vehicles. This is Aero News for Monday, May 7th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Several times in the past weeks, we've reported here on Aero News that Hawker Beechcraft was rumored to be preparing to file bankruptcy, or that the company was taking steps usually followed by those in bankruptcy. Well, on Friday, the company finally pulled the trigger and made the rumors official. Hawker's official announcement put as positive a spin on the news as possible, but it is still a blow to the aviation manufacturing industry and to the local economy in Wichita, Kansas. The company said in a news release posted on its website that it has, quote, reached an agreement with a significant number of its senior secured lenders and senior bondholders on the terms of a financial restructuring plan that will strengthen the company for the future and eliminate approximately $2.5 billion in debt and approximately $125 million of annual cash interest expense. A prearranged Chapter 11 filing means the company has secured the support of a majority of its lenders and senior bondholders for its proposed financial restructuring prior to the Chapter 11 filing with the court. Financial institutions representing more than two-thirds of the company's bank and senior bond debt are parties to the agreement. As part of the prearranged restructuring, Hawker Beechcraft obtained a commitment for $400 million in debtor-in-possession financing, which will enable it to continue paying employees, suppliers, vendors, and others in the normal course of business. Hawker Beechcraft will continue its operations without interruption and meet its ongoing commitments to customers during the restructuring process. Specifically, deposits and progress payments will be secure, and all customer orders for available products will be fulfilled. The Allied Pilots Association, certified collective bargaining agent for the 10,000 pilots of American Airlines, has co-signed an open letter to the AMR Board of Directors urging a merger with U.S. Airways. The open letter was featured in advertisements in the Friday, May 4th editions of the Wall Street Journal, the Dallas Morning News, and Fort Worth Star-Telegram. The leaders of the Transport Workers Union and Association of Professional Flight Attendants also signed the letter, which asked the AMR Board of Directors to engage with U.S. Airways management now and proceed with a merger of the two carriers. APA President Dave Bates says, quote, "We are firmly convinced that the alternative plan of reorganization sponsored by U.S. Airways management represents the best path forward for American Airlines. This plan would preserve and enhance the American Airlines brand, retain the airline's Fort Worth home, and save thousands of jobs that would otherwise be eliminated under AMR management's standalone plan," end quote. The letter notes the three unions have already reached conditional agreements with U.S. Airways. Bates, a 27-year veteran American pilot, also pointed out that thousands of his peers have also signed a petition of no confidence in the AMR management team. That petition drive began last Tuesday, May 1st. Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International President and CEO Michael Toscano has sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood asking him to expedite the publication of the Small Unmanned Aircraft System Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. The FAA has been examining the issue of allowing small UAS to fly in the airspace since 2008, when it formed an aviation rulemaking committee to examine the issue. Although the committee issued recommendations in 2009, the FAA has not yet released a proposed rule for public comment on how it will safely allow small UAS to fly in the civil airspace. Congress, in the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012, which was passed into law on February 14th, requires the Secretary of Transportation to publish a final rule on allowing small UAS to fly in the airspace by mid-2014, with the safe integration of all civil UAS by 30 September of 2015. In his letter to Secretary LaHood, Toscano said, quote, "UAS will be the next big revolution in aviation. However, before this industry can really take off, we need rules from the FAA on how to operate safely alongside manned aircraft," end quote. Before Boeing dreamed up the Dreamliner, it was working on a supersonic airliner called the Sonic Cruiser, even to the point of beginning construction on a prototype back in 2007. After the company focused so much time and so many resources on the 787, many thought the program had faded away. But in fact, it's just been on the back burner at Boeing. Gizmodo reports that a revised version of the Sonic Cruiser has popped up in a patent published April 19th with several new design elements. Among the changes are engines placed over the wings. The patent drawing is vaguely reminiscent of the engine nacelles on the Starship Enterprise. There is nothing to indicate that Boeing will build the Sonic Cruiser anytime soon, but for those of you who have lamented the retirement of the Concorde, it does hold out some hope for a return of those three-hour trips across the Atlantic. Airbus Military has received the initial type certification of the A400M New Generation Airlifter, marking a key milestone on the road to first delivery around the turn of the year. This first approval, known as a restricted type certificate, was presented by EASA Executive Director Patrick Goudeau at an internal ceremony Friday in Toulouse, France. The RTC is a critical step toward the award of full civil type certification, which is expected in mid-2012, following the completion of 300 hours of function and reliability flight tests, and towards military initial operating clearance later in the year. When Aero News continues, 20,000 feet up and 140 miles per hour in a glider. Your federal tax dollars at work, or not. And the FAA scolds a passenger.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Moyer. We continue now with Aero News for Monday, May the 7th. Glider pilots Gordon Boettger and Hugh Bennett took advantage of an atmospheric phenomenon known as mountain waves to attempt a 1,000-mile cross-country flight last Thursday using nothing but rising air, altitude converted to energy, and the jet stream for propulsion. The two men departed Minden, Nevada just after 0500 local time Thursday morning in Bennett's German-built Schempp-Hirth Duo Discus. The flight took the two pilots over flight level 200, but about 5 hours into the flight, they encountered wall clouds over Winnemucca, Nevada, and were forced to turn south. They reached speeds of up to 140 miles per hour above Wells, Nevada. Unfortunately, the flight was cut short. Wired reported that the weather forced the duo to land in southern Idaho at Joslin Field near Twin Falls. Boettger and Bennett do hold the U.S. record for long-range glider flights, having ridden mountain waves previously over 1,300 miles over the Sierra Nevada Mountains last year. The police chief of Gadsden, Alabama, recently discovered that his department was the proud owner of two unmanned aerial vehicles. The Gadsden Times reports Chief John Crane found out 2 weeks ago that his police department has owned the UAVs since 2010. And this fact came to light after the FAA published a list of agencies authorized to fly drones and UAVs, and the Gadsden Police Department was on the list. Crane has been police chief for just over 2 months there and has no idea why the aircraft were purchased. The $150,000 cost was paid for by a federal law enforcement grant. The Los Angeles Times cites a police department spokesman saying the aircraft are WASP-3 drones purchased to help in drug investigations. The chief says the UAVs haven't been used because the department hasn't had a need for them. Gone fishing. Well, that's a sign most of us hang out when we're off to relax. But in the case of scientists in Belize, it means time to study whales, manatees, and other marine mammals. The Coastal Zone Management Authority and Institute in the Ministry of Forestry, Fisheries, and Sustainable Development recently completed marine mammal aerial surveys along the entire coast of Belize. The flights for the surveys were donated by the conservation organization Lighthawk. In Mesoamerica, from January to June each year, Lighthawk volunteer pilots fly missions to enhance regional conservation efforts. In this case, aerial surveys allowed scientists to spot marine mammals to effectively monitor a large area in a short amount of time. A total of 507 manatees were sighted, with 10% of them being calves. This is the highest count recorded for Belize, still known globally to have the greatest number of the endangered Antillean manatee. Other species spotted during the surveys included a pair of sperm whales, 33 dolphins, 11 turtles, and 4 crocodiles. There was no word about a partridge in a pear tree. Well, like a parent trying to discipline an errant child, the FAA has scolded a passenger on a Delta Airlines flight last month who recorded a bird strike minutes after takeoff. Grant Cardone was on a flight headed for Los Angeles on April 19th when the aircraft encountered a flock of birds, causing the right engine to shut down. The aircraft subsequently made an emergency landing at John F. Kennedy International Airport with no injuries reported. Cardone caught the incident on camera in violation of the regulation requiring electronic devices be turned off during critical phases of flight. After an investigation, the FAA sent Cardone a letter which said, quote, "We have given consideration to all the facts. In lieu of legal enforcement action, we are issuing this letter, which will be made a matter of record for a period of 2 years, after which the record will be expunged," end quote. Cardone, later a guest on CNN, responded with, quote, "If truly these devices, phones, iPads are that dangerous, the FAA has a responsibility to ban them from planes. If these electronics are dangerous to the American public, ban them from the planes today," end quote. In fact, the FAA has recently launched studies to determine if there is any truth at all to their long-held belief that such devices could interfere with an airplane's navigation and communications systems. From the very beginning, this story read like one of those slow-roller comedic questions from the old TV show Match Game. "Dumb Dora was so dumb," the question would begin, to which the studio audience would cry out, "How dumb was she?" as contestants tried to fill in the blank and match the celebrity players. In this case, you have an airline with the name Spirit. You have a passenger, Jerry Meekins, a Vietnam veteran dying of cancer who is told by his doctors he should not fly to be by his daughter's side for her own upcoming surgery. Consequently, he asks for a refund of his already purchased $197 non-refundable airfare. And the airline says no. Well, the good news is Meekins is getting his refund, but only after veterans groups, Facebook users, and countless thousands of others heaped criticism on the airline. Even Fox News commentators dug into their pockets on camera to come up with the refund, which Meekins refused, and then accepted on behalf of the Wounded Warrior Project. After all that, Spirit's CEO, Ben Baldanza, said in a statement, quote, "I did not demonstrate the respect or the compassion that I should have, given his medical condition and his service to our country," end quote. You think? In addition to the refund, the airline is making a $5,000 contribution to Wounded Warriors in Meekins' name. So we return to our original question. How dumb was Dumb Dora? Well, Dumb Dora was so dumb, she could apparently be CEO of her own airline. That's all for this report of Aero News, but please don't be a Dumb Dora. Why not subscribe to these Aerocasts and stay up to date daily with all the latest news in the aviation world? You can subscribe on iTunes or at www.aero-news.net. That's www.aero-news.net. I'm Glenn Moyer, and you're now cleared for departure.